This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I check in every single show. A day won't fit, and that's for sure. I crack up every time. But one thing truly bothers me, the golden my conspiracy, why can't
nice.
Yeah.
This is really nice. I didn't appreciate the messaging, but I like the guitar and I like the voice. Mm-hmm. The when you hear what the lyrics actually said, they were pretty nasty and derogatory towards me. And
ultimately.
But I'm trying to like look past that.
Right.
To the point where I'm like, okay, this is Christian Freeberg, his name was.
Separate the art from the artist.
Exactly. My song submission is an acoustic parody of a Thrice song called Stare at the Sun.
Oh, nice.
If you could, would you please shout out my hardcore punk band?
Oh, yeah.
And then he says the name of the band. And you better fucking believe that this chipmunk won't say the name of it. How's that for fair?
Yeah.
I played your little song.
Right.
I extracted the joy out of it, mm-hmm. but I won't give him the honor of saying what his band is on my podcast. For him to come.
Change your hand. Change your hand. First of all, first and foremost, make a new hand gesture. Okay. Relax it. Spread
keep
the fingers.
My band's name out of your fucking mouth, Will Smith.
Are you sure you extracted any joy? Because it actually sounds like you got super wound up and angered.
Yes, and actually we're recording this in our studio, so you guys can see this if you're on our YouTube channel. This is a video version of our show. You can listen to it as you would a normal podcast, but you can also watch it.
Yeah.
Thanks to the magic of video podcasting on our YouTube. So
indeed.
You can see how much joy or anger it caused.
Right.
Fine. His band's name is Violets, and it's spelled V-Y-L-T-S.
Violets.
Pretty cool, right?
No vowels except for the Y.
Sometimes Y, yeah. It's all a right. Wordle chic word, band name.
Wow, it's been a minute since I played Wordle, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
We just released our first single, and it's streaming on all platforms right now. For fans of Touche Amore, Defeater, and Knocked Loose.
Love it.
How are people discovering new songs nowadays? I feel like I only hear what is popular on TikTok. Are you listening to the radio? Or are you listening to Spotify playlists?
I do listen to Spotify playlists that get up. I listen to my Discover.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, it's hard for me to like actually discover new music because I'll listen to a song and I'll be like, oh, I like this. And I'll press the heart button. Mm-hmm. And so I have a playlist of like my liked songs.
Yeah.
And I know what they sound like. But I couldn't tell you
the names of
any of them.
Yeah, like what's the most recent new song you remember liking?
Oh, there's a song called Bodies by
Megan Thee Stallion.
No. When I hear that 808, Yeah, I don't know what it's called or really how it goes, but it's a great song and it makes me feel happy when I hear it. But I discovered that one recently and it's on my liked song. And I think it's called Bodies.
Yeah. And I don't like Lil Nas X. Is he like the newest artist that I can name? Mm-hmm. Potentially so.
Actually, what I rediscovered recently was Guster, band I really liked in high school.
Wow. And they're back or you're just listening to
just
their
listening to their old songs. Yeah. Just I was in Seattle and I was going on a run. And I was like, I don't know what to listen to. And I was like, you know what? Fucking Guster. I haven't heard those guys in a minute.
And
you better believe I think it's the nostalgia, but I still like all of it.
Is Guster? No, they're not the ones that sang. It was a crazy game.
No, that's OAR. Yeah. And I listened to that weekend kind of triggered a whole college playlist moment for me. And the OAR songs I liked did not hold up
really
as well.
What's a famous Guster song? Have I heard any of these Guster songs?
Happier.
Because I'm happier.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's good. Uh-huh. Sequel to Happy. okay, that was Christian Freeberg. Thank you. Thank you for supplying the song. And it's cool that you played guitar and sang. I wish it wasn't about me being a rodent / tree creature.
Yeah.
Or treacher for short. But we'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
This is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Justin.
Oh, yeah. Christian. What is it? Christian.
Chase Bieber.
Christian Bieber.
Christian.
I am Christian Bieber because Bieber is Christian.
Yeah.
And you could be Jewish Bieber.
Right.
All right. As always, real questions from real people. We're going to do our best to answer this. The energy is high right now because, again, we're from
IRL.
We're absolutely IRL. Okay. Here we go. This is a funny one I found in our electro mailbox, and it's sort of a problem that's a humble brag.
I love it.
So we'll call this guy Humbert Bragg.
Good.
I'm a 23-year-old guy that's 6'1", bald and bearded.
Okay.
I've had plenty of sexual encounters, but I have one problem. Every girl I've ever slept with has only done it because of my size. They've either heard it through friends or asked me directly. A stat for Amir, I'm volumetrically larger than 99.62% of men, approximately 2.3x the average, according to the penis percentile calculator online.
How did he say two times?
2.5 times the average.
Jesus.
That seems not true. That means like if the average penis is 6 inches, he's not 15 inches.
What if he is?
Insane. I feel like I'm a nice person and I'm generally liked. And I just can't seem to find a relationship that has a basis other than his dick is big and I want to try it out.
Okay.
So here's the question. How do I get a girl to like me for who I am and not just my massive main vein? Should I just not
should
answer?
Be your fucking Hinge bio, bro.
should I just not answer? When a girl asks me my size, any advice is appreciated. Thank you.
How often do... I've never been asked my size.
Yeah, because yours isn't 2.3x the average.
But like he's saying like... It sounds like he's getting asked like leading up to a sexual encounter.
Yes. It's as if it's a small town and they all talk.
His reputation is preceding him.
That's right.
I mean, the best way to have a big dick is... quietly. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So like nobody knows and it's a pleasant surprise.
Right. Yeah. But the cat's out of the bag. I think you have to embrace the fact that you have a hook. Like not like the penis is hooked, but like the there's like an angle that people are, you know.
Not that your penis is an angle.
An angle. Yeah.
This is just like,
but
yeah.
But there's like a cock.
Not that your penis is a cock.
There's a reason that people are intrigued by you.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has something. Like people want to get to know you because you're funny and you live in the woods.
Yeah.
And that's kind of interesting.
That's
you're
cool.
A woodland creature and they want to know what you eat,
I'm
how
not,
you exist.
But yeah, I can
in
see
the
why
world.
That would be
they
a
say,
cool thing.
What made you evolve? Evolve
no.
Basically into human, but not so far that you're not a chipmunk. And that makes people interested in you. And then it's your personality and your cute little chipmunk ways that make people look at you. You're eating an acorn.
I'm chewing on a nut because I got hungry.
I think, like, maybe the reason you are having sexual encounters is because people are curious about your body. Or maybe that's the reason that people are intrigued by you.
But, and is that fine?
That's fine, ultimately. The reason they stick around will be your personality. I think you have to give everyone a free pass because, lucky for you, you're a freak of nature. It's kind of cool. If you're in the 99.6 percentile...
According to a penis percentile calculator online. Have you ever measured your member?
Yes, of course.
And did you do it with like a tape measure, just a hard ruler? Did you like measure your hands and then sort of guesstimate?
I believe it was a ruler.
A ruler.
A ruler. So from my dad's workshop.
I used a protractor because that's how fucking curvaceous it is. And I measured the yaw of my car.
Yeah.
And what were you
working?
Tape
measure for the girth.
What's that?
You heard me. You heard. You absolutely heard me.
I actually had to use a yardstick for mine.
It's and a yaw stick for the yaw.
I used a yardstick to find out it was 2.1 inches thin. And then I used a soda can to sort of approximate the girth of it.
Oh, good God.
What?
I can't believe it's 2022 and we're just fucking going all in on cock size.
It's about time we go back.
Yeah.
Mine's about roughly the cylindrical size of a little medicine bottle. You know what I mean? The little kind that, like, pills come in. And it rattles like that, too, as if there's two loose pills at the base of it, once you take the cotton out.
I'm sorry to take it out.
What?
Take it out.
No, it's insane. We're live in a studio. There's a studio audience here. I'm not going to remember my member.
Oh, good God.
But yeah, I mean, I bet most people have, you know, measured their penis. You have to.
Have you?
I have. I was curious.
When?
You want to know if you're, yeah, what you're working with.
We're dangerously close to, like, you know.
This a dick measuring contest.
Yeah. This isn't where we want to head as a society, is it?
Pun intended. Yes.
Nice.
Actually, instead of measuring, what we can do is joust. So you
take
out.
Oh, my God.
What? Just see whose tip touches the other person's first. That way we know who's working with
it. It's not even about size then. It's about skill.
Because we will be riding towards each other on a horse. Chivalry isn't dead, folks.
What do you think this guy should do?
Who cares?
You're hung like a horse, bro. Talk to me when you have a real problem, like not being able to close.
How about a penis reduction procedure?
I don't think he wants that. I think he's happy to... He's obviously proud. He's gone on to multiple different dick calculation websites. He knows the percentile he's in.
Yeah.
There has to be... Examine yourself a little bit and try to decipher if you're not a little bit proud about this.
I mean, he's two standard deviations above average. That means for every person in his percentile, there's somebody who's rocking a micropeen just to make the average stay where it is.
Yeah.
What do you think the average is by...
I feel like I've heard it's 6 or 5.5 or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like body, like heights wise, but inches instead of feet.
Right.
Yeah.
How big is yours?
My what?
You said you measured. So you actually, you know.
His is 99.62%.
Bigger than yours.
Bigger than most men. Mine is 99.63. And I don't even say that lightly. I really say that with the gravitas and seriousness.
And I didn't want to tell everybody, and you forced that out of me. So, yeah. I actually am a pretty humble guy.
I'm a shower and a grower, if you can imagine. It starts big and ends longer. Because I'm happier. Here's a question. How do I get a girl to like me for who I am? I guess... You'll know. Sometimes I think it'll happen at the same rate as though you had a small penis, but I guess while you're weeding people out, they're also having sex with you, which is
anyone to like you for who you are is you spend more time with them. So it's like, it's weird that you would expect anyone to like you for who you are, you know, so fast.
Yeah. It also depends on if you're a nice guy, just right. you know.
So it's just actually. The answer is just over time, but you will have to, you know, deal with people being curious about your member.
You're probably wondering what my cock looks like, he says on the first date. Why does nobody like me for who I am?
Yeah, maybe you should have to move.
People say that having the reputation of having a BD, big dick, mm-hmm. is actually a curse because everybody's expecting it to be pretty big.
Oh, interesting.
So it's almost like it's better, like you said, to have that, the mythos. That's why you'll often hear nasty rumors about me, allegations-wise. Pictures, photos of my D next to a plum.
Right.
And they're roughly the same size.
So it's not rumors, it's
and
evidence.
And color.
It's
That's
facts.
Not... I did not have sexual relations.
Your penis
with that.
Is out. It's on your trackpad. And my God, it's small. I mean, my God, man.
It looks like a thin sliver of a mouse pad. It's felt. It's purple felt.
Why purple?
Purple felt. Purple felt. Congratulations. I don't know what you want me to say. Should I even give this guy a fake name? I feel like let's fucking out him.
Yeah.
He's the hero that everyone wants it to be.
Follow up, ask for a photo.
We deserve to see. Mm-hmm. We deserve to see it, sir. A follow-up pup that's just a dick pic. All right, let's take a break and answer some questions that aren't so blue after this break.
Come on.
It is blue. It's left of center. It's disgusting.
It's odious.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp,
right.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to betterhelp.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Hey, Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a lesson of the fight. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
I don't, but I think you do.
So we're in a studio right now. We didn't really have any unsolicited advice, so yeah. We opened it up to our confident producers over there. And Anya actually has been mentioning that she journals at night, right before bed, doesn't journal, writes down her thoughts, right. And it helps them from racing around in her head as she falls asleep.
Goes to bed.
That's right. So anything that's sort of kicking around the noodle up there, and it's like sort of repeating ad nauseum right before you go to sleep, you write it down, and then you can go to sleep with a clear conscience. Is that more or less what the situation is?
Yeah.
Okay. It's tough
not even close, Blumenfeld.
It's she was talking about exercising more. I don't know where you came up with the journaling
egg whites.
Thing.
Yeah.
So
the key is to not think of it as a journal.
Right. And just write what you're thinking.
Yeah. Anya said she doesn't look at it at all the next day.
Interesting.
So it's really just a release.
Yeah. But the thing is, when I'm falling asleep, I don't have any thoughts left in my brain all day. I think it's because I talk so much during the day that by the time I'm ready for sleep, my head's already empty and my soul is too. Mm. So I'll sort of just fade to black. The other way, if you find yourself with the anxiety of like constantly overthinking or thinking many things throughout the day, the way to get that out of your brain, I guess you're saying, is to write it down right before you fall asleep.
I think there's like whatever I'm anxious about usually rears its head during the day, and I don't have anything at night. At night, I always go to sleep really easily.
Because you're dead from the day.
I don't even know if it's because I'm dead for the day. It's just like my brain is just like mine doesn't come when my brother's his comes at night and not during the day.
Oh, interesting.
But me, I'm like wired just different.
I'm
stressed about stuff during the daytime and relaxed in the evening.
Right. I guess it's I don't know which one is better than the other, because one sort of ruins your day and the other one kind of ruins your night.
Neither of them are good.
No.
We should try to get rid of them for the whole, all the time.
That's right. Which brings us to our other sponsor, BetterHelp. Thank you to you guys.
We just came back from that.
Okay. Hopefully that's helpful to some of y'all out there. But they do say that journaling, not that this is journaling, is very helpful.
Writing
it down, yeah. I do never write anything down. I fear I'm forgetting how to like even handwrite.
Oh yeah, definitely. This happens to my wife. She'll like wake up. She wakes up in the middle of the night and needs to write things down to get them out of her head. Mm. But I've woken up before. It's like 4 a.m. I like take off my eye mask and she's just like sitting there with the lights on writing. I'm like, geez, you're having a different night than me.
Can you turn that light off, please? Yeah. I'm going back to dream. Putting on a VR headset.
fart really loud.
Okay, here's a question from somebody who might be going through his own certain sets of anxieties. Mm. And it's kind of funny.
Really?
Yeah. So let's call this guy Ross. Because he says he does something Ross style. My wife and I have been together for 6 years. With any relationship, we've had our ups and downs. Everything is great now, but about a year into our relationship, we took a break. Ross style. During this period, my wife was absolutely railed. Railed by a guy named Ezekiel.
Zeke!
That's right.
Give her the Z!
My wife told me she had sex during this period, but did not tell me his name. I learned that through the grapevine. Whatever. Fine. Kosher. Legal, even. Yeah.
Quite.
Cut to now, we're having a baby, and she wants to name the bish Ezekiel. She doesn't know that this is the name. She doesn't know that I know that this is the name of the dastardly fiend. I've poked around, and it's not like she has an uncle or a grandpappy. And when asked, she says, I just like that name. What does this mean? It's a fine name, I guess, but I don't want to be thinking about that dude when I look upon my son's face. Can I bring it up? She's the one pooping this thing out, so how much ground do I really even have? Am I just being a petty Jew, much like the prophet Ezekiel? What would you do if you were me? P.S. We made a deal that if it was a girl, I'd name her, and if it was a boy, she would. Also, she seems pretty basically decided that she talks to her belly and calls it Ezekiel.
Oh, my God. She's actually talking to her vagina.
That's right.
Missing him.
What do you think?
So is it 100% they know the sex of the baby, or is it a coin flip right now? Like, do they not know?
They know it's a boy.
They know it's a boy.
She's going Zeke.
And they made the deal. She has chosen Ezekiel.
she has chosen, and he doesn't knowsin, or she doesn't knowsin that he knowsin why she chosen.
I think that it's part, like, I feel like I get both sides. In one instance, I think you could do a better job of getting over Ezekiel, because, like, I don't think she's naming the baby Ezekiel because she got railed so hard one time that she wants to, like, think about it every time she talks. Like, she probably liked the name. Maybe that's what drew her to this guy in the first place.
Oh, interesting. So the name predates the rail.
I don't think that he gave a, like, such a memorable sex like, how does he know that she got railed?
Yeah. She knows. Oh, he knows. Like, he knows.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you want to start, like, digging up, like, oh, we can't name this baby after anyone either of us have been with.
Yeah.
Because it takes names off the table. It's just not that.
As a general rule, I don't know what happened to you during the break. Can we just eliminate names of people I've ever slept with? And you, actually.
Right. And then she's like, yes. And then she's like, I'm going to call him Ezekiel. And then you're like, that's the thing.
Because I heard research. Something through the grapevine.
I did some opposition research into you.
Oppo research. I know that you actually were railed by a Zeke.
So I think that you could do a better job of getting over it. But at the same time, I don't think that you will. And I think that it probably makes sense to say something sooner rather than later.
Yeah, because this is a problem. It's not like a temporary problem.
No.
The baby will hopefully outlive you.
You don't want this name to be on the birth certificate, and then you realize you can't live with it, and then you tell her.
Do you like the name Ezekiel in general for a child?
I like old school names. I'm not – Ezekiel's not like – my favorite, yeah. But I'm not opposed to it.
I don't know, but it sounds very Amish to me.
Yeah, it is, I think.
Yeah, well,
it's Old Testament, right? Zeke, I don't really like the name Zeke as a nickname either.
Yeah. What is Zeke? Like, do you know any Zekes in your life? They just imagine like a scary guy named Zeke.
Right, I think that's from Salute Your Shorts. There is Zeke the Plumber.
Right, Zeke the Plumber. Zeke. Maybe the Plumber. That's yeah. Why I don't like
you it. You should just play that episode of Salute Your Shorts for your wife. That's and good. Be like, maybe we should name it Ezekiel.
I mean, look at this yeah. guy. This guy was awful. What are you showing me? It was a show in the early 90s that had 8 episodes. And I think I'm going to use my veto on Zeke.
Oh, that's, I mean, that's what you should have done is like when you have this, you choose a guy, I choose a girl, but we each get a veto.
Oh, a Zito. That's really nice.
But it's too late for that.
Right. So maybe for the next child.
I think it's a dangerous game to do. I choose if it's a boy, you choose if it's a girl.
Yeah, because you have to agree. Yeah. Like, what are you going to have fart blanche access to naming this child? That seems like you got to put your heads together on this one.
Yeah. I think that's what my parents did for me, actually.
They just let your mom decide?
I think my dad decided.
And he's like, Jake.
Yeah.
But your mom had to have
she had to have been
at the
okay
very least gone along with it.
I remember that if I was a girl, she wanted to name me Jessamy. And I'm glad that I'm a guy for, you know, a lot of reasons, obviously. But
then they had 3 more girls and Jessamy didn't even crack the top 3.
I think at that point she must have fallen out of love with Jessamy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you have a sister, Eliza. That's like the female Ezekiel.
Everyone has a pretty biblical name. Hannah, Rachel, Sarah, Eliza, yeah. Micah, Jacob.
For a non-biblical family, you guys relied on the Bible for names.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you go biblical for your names or you're not about that Old Testament lifestyle?
I would – well, I want to name my son Ragnar, but Jill's having none of it.
Because it sort of doesn't mean anything. It sounds like a caveman sort of making a noise. It's rooted in a history that's neither yours nor hers. It's hard to say. It's hard to spell. It's hard to see
someone. It's not hard to spell or say. Ragnar? R-A-G-N-A-R? No, it's not hard. But everything else you say is in line.
Thor Ragnarok. Would you like a Thor name? You like the Viking stuff.
Yeah, I do. That's why I like Ragnar.
Because it's sort of, it's like the D&D thing.
Yeah.
You want to create a hard one of yourself.
Right, exactly.
Named in your image.
That's exactly right.
And if they should grow up to be a whiny little wiry Jew like me.
Right.
Oh, how you wouldn't like that.
Yeah.
I'm Ragnar.
You're going to go by your middle name, Poindexter.
Rodney. Rodney Mott.
Ragnar Rodney Hurwitz.
Who says no to that? The RRH to rule them all. Rodney Ragnar eats a rhombus. okay, here's a 27-year-old female from South Africa that has a question.
South Africa.
Yeah, that was a, I think, bad accent, though I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. We'll call this lady Joanne because she's from Johannesburg.
Okay.
I've been friends with this guy for over a decade now, and he's been a vegetarian for 7 of those years, I think. He moved out of our hometown when high school ended, and we've had a bit of a long-distance friendship, and he would come down and spend some weekends with us throughout the years. But now is when it gets weird. I recently moved to the same city as him this year, and we're spending a lot more time together. But I think this fucker has been secretly not vegetarian for years and has just been lying to us the whole time. I went over to his house for dinner one day, and his mom served us lasagna, and I didn't see a veggie version, but he ate it anyway. And then recently, he house sat for me, and I found meat sausages in my fridge that I didn't buy. So how do I confront him about this? Should I even confront him about this?
I think it's fine.
It's not.
It's okay.
He's lying.
You're not really.
He sort of gets off to telling people he was a vegetarian.
I think it's okay.
Really?
Whatever.
Yeah. Right. Because he had a sausage.
Yeah.
So don't like come out. We don't necessarily.
Yeah. You don't know everything.
Because he's not like.
We don't.
You rarely hear about vegetarians anymore. Now it seems like it's vegan or bust.
Vegan or bust, yeah.
A vegetarian is a nothing.
It's almost... I'm actually still vegan.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that entail again?
Vegan is the diet wherein I eat mostly vegan, but every once in a while I just listen to me and I can eat meat because it's my diet, my body, me, vegan.
I see. We got sushi last night. You didn't bat an eye.
Yeah, because my veganism has shifted towards kind of a
pescatarian lifestyle.
Me wants meat most of the time now.
Interesting.
So it's still in line with vegan because I do decide what I eat as a vegan.
Right.
There are no rules.
Correct.
But yeah, so I'm eating meat now. Meat and cheese, poultry, fish.
I'll have a veal.
Shellfish. Yeah.
Just to hear them squeal.
But that is vegan.
It's very, it seems like you're just doing whatever the hell you want and calling it something else.
That's correct.
I would like to eat less meat just because, you know, as I now take care of an animal in my own house, I feel like it's kind of fucked up what we do to animals that we eat.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
I understand the impulse to not want to support this terrible system.
Yeah. No, it's bad.
Oh, but I'm being so selfish in that it's like, yeah, it's bad, but also I like chicken apple sausage, right. So I'll still do that.
I just would prefer the status quo was better for the world. Like, it's just easy. I don't know.
You'd like everybody to make a rule right now, let's not eat meat. Then we're all in this together and we'll figure
right, then
it
it's,
out.
Then it's the only option I have. I wouldn't be like, well, no, I missed the fucking chicken.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, that's kind of what I...
And then it doesn't feel like you're just not doing anything. It's like, great, I'm not eating turkey in my sandwich, but it's not really making a difference.
Yeah, but the fake meat's pretty good.
Fake meat is pretty good.
It's definitely there for
Beyond,
me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Beyond Beef is good.
Yeah, and then...
I guess I like burgers, though. I mean, steak's pretty good.
Yeah, so is chicken.
Yeah.
I recently,
not really though.
I heard this crazy fact that every year 80 billion animals are killed for meat and 72 billion of them are chicken.
Jesus.
Doesn't that seem like way high for the amount of that's like 8 chickens per person on earth is killed every year.
Cuz like, well, aren't like cows sacred in India? So like there's a lot of cultures that won't eat a cow.
Yeah, exactly.
But chicken doesn't have that luxury.
No. It doesn't get to be holier than anybody thou. Yeah.
Wow. They're not including fish on that.
Yeah, I would guess not because, you know, they just bring those fish in and just dump it on a boat. It's hard to count that.
Right. That makes sense.
But maybe they are including fish.
Yeah. Should we be vegan together?
At the very least, we should eat less meat.
Yeah. No, that's good.
So like an occasional meat versus often everyday meat.
What are you going to have for lunch today?
Today the thing is just getting started. Mm-hmm. So I might actually do like a Philly cheesesteak or something like that.
A chicken cheesesteak.
Yeah. And then
a surf and turf.
Then I have to say goodbye to this old diet by doing like a
last hurrah.
Exactly. So I'll have venison. That's deer meat. Tomorrow, my appetite
and a lamb pie.
My appetite for flesh will become insatiable as I drool over the thought
we'll
of
be eating a horse heart for breakfast.
And then tomorrow, I'll eat my dog because if I raised it, I deserve to have him.
Yeah. On Friday, I'll have a salad, but I am going lion hunting.
On Sunday, a purely vegan diet as I detusk an elephant in front of its mom. And then Monday, we run it all back.
Meatless
again.
Monday. In the hide, hunting tigers.
Yes. Sorry, did I say meatless? I meant boneless. Boneless wings, specifically.
Nice. That's extra chicken that goes into that.
All right. Let's take a break, thank some sponsors, and do some real soul searching and see how we can be friendlier to the environment and our animal friends.
That's right.
We'll be back after these.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Messages. And we have returned.
Yeah.
How close are your guys in New York to having a studio like this so we could do some episodes like this in NYC?
Dangerously close.
Really?
We've got the space. Everything is built. It is soundproof. The panels need to be hung. The lights need to be hung. The cameras need to be set up. But all that stuff is there.
Interesting.
Everything's on site. Everything is built.
Did you get one of those cool TVs like we have that's like the frame TV that looks like an image, but it's actually a television?
Yes.
Same exact one.
The exact same one.
Wow.
I think we just copied your entire order and did it over there.
Yeah. I don't consider it my order because I had nothing to do with it, but yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Casey's order, really.
Right. Sure.
So he thought of everything. Mm-hmm. You guys just said, okay, copy, paste, let's do this in New York.
I didn't even say that. I think it was Marika and Katie. Mm. So yeah, I've literally done nothing.
But I wonder what it'll look like if we could do a split screen. So it looks like I'm talking to you. So there would be a computer in your chair.
We didn't get this thing because I found this to be a mistake because it's kind of an optical illusion.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think we're putting shelves and stuff on here to sort of break,
break the
slats of it all.
So I
yours
think,
is just a matte single color.
Yeah. You have more of a beige theme, and we're going to have more of a gray theme.
Interesting. Beige and gray.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I believe our walls are painted gray.
Beige and gray, grayish and beige.
Grayish. But we're going to have we'll have the shelves. We're going to have similar furniture. I think it'll intercut for sure.
That's cool. Looking forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's one last question to rule them all. Ready?
Yeah.
This one is about potentially hooking up with a porn star.
Nice.
It's a dude. So what's a popular porn dude name?
Peter North.
Peter North writes, I recently discovered a brand new porn star who's quickly becoming one of my favorites.
Okay. Well,
come on.
Because I like porn.
I didn't say it.
Yes, you did. You paused so to give it more time. Yeah.
After some digging, I found her personal TikTok and began following her. Turns out she's originally from the suburb of my city. She ended up watching and liking some of my TikToks. I subscribed to her OnlyFans. And then I found her personal Instagram. Hmm. At this point, I can literally dox her, but I won't.
Jesus.
I won't, he writes.
Okay.
But I was thinking about reaching out to her to see if she wants to get coffee one of these times when she's home for the holiday. I missed my chance already when she was home for Thanksgiving. I could be upfront and let her know that I know she's a porn star, or play it cool and pretend I only know her from TikTok.
Interesting.
So he's like sliding into the DMs, the TikToks. She probably knows how he knows, right? Like, it's not too big of a secret.
I feel like if you make porn, there's no chance that this is the only guy that sought her out.
Yeah.
She knows the whole game.
she's been there before, especially if he follows her on OnlyFans.
Right. But he, like, it's all anonymous on OnlyFans.
Right.
I mean, I just think she probably knows that you know or some, but it's also fine. If I would just, I would reframe this in your brain from you feeling like you have all the cards to she's actually seen everything before.
Right.
So you do not have the upper hand. You are one of many who's trying to get coffee with her. But, you know, she watches your TikToks. That's good. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Ask her for coffee, but with no expectations, especially no expectations that you are in control.
That's right. Well, he actually continues because this is when it gets even a hairier situation.
Interesting.
I wanted to get your insight just on the first part.
Okay.
The other thing is, I'm married.
Oh, what are you?
All right, let me finish. Because what you suggested to him was actually really fucked up, knowing this part. And we're going to edit this to make it sound like I said that before you talked about the other shit.
No, we're not.
Maybe my wife would be cool with me fucking a porn star? It's basically a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Maybe my wife would be down for a three-way. Frankly, my confidence is about 50-50 as to whether or not I can get this porn star to fuck me. It's just a matter of shooting my shot. Heh. What would you do if you were me? Does this change anything you had in mind for the first
chance? Of course. Of course.
Interesting. How so?
First of all, my shot, like, it doesn't sound like it was even that hard. Mm. You found her on TikTok.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
I don't know. Definitely, you can't have your wife play catch up with this situation.
Mm.
You need,
she should
if
be
this
ahead
is something
of the curve.
You want, you should be, she should be in lockstep with you in the, from the get go.
You think he's actually this casual about this? Is this guy so cool and open that he's like, yeah, should I go after this porn star? Also, I'm married. Maybe I'll have a threesome. Like, is it possible?
No,
that
I think he's
this
just
loosey-goosey.
Yeah. No.
Or is he kind of crazy-wazy?
I think he's probably the most loosey-goosey about everything. If I could make a prediction on the situation, I think his wife would not be cool with it, and he actually has no chance with the porn star.
Okay.
So worst of both worlds is you tell your wife, she's offended, you decide to shoot your shot anyway. The porn star honestly just rebuffs you, thinks it's creepy that you found out her home address on Instagram and want to get coffee. And then you're kind of shit out of luck.
So you're saying his confidence...
You told your wife you wanted to cheat on her, and a porn star rejected you. And... That's shooting the shot. I think, you know, keep the rock at that point.
So he says my confidence is about 50-50.
Your confidence, I think, is at a million. And it needs to be about 50-50.
It's too high, would you say? It should be closer to 10-90, it seems like, for 10 being accepted and 90 being rejected.
Tell your wife you're into this type of thing and see how she feels about it.
Yeah.
And then you can go with God.
That's cool. Yeah, maybe they are a religious couple or something like that. And she can spin it in a way that's like in the Bible.
Like a sister wife type of thing.
Yeah, or like sort of like a multiple personality situation.
Yeah.
Because I think The Last Supper was a low-key orgy.
No shit. If you see the painting, it's actually a key party. There's a little bowl with a lot of like skeleton keys in there.
And who's the one that sort of kisses, is it Judas?
Judas.
Yeah, he actually Frenched Jesus so that they knew which one was him, right? Isn't that how
it works? Should commission an oil painting that is The Last Supper as an orgy. It's Jesus doing like this, but he's kind of like ski-poling fucking Judas and
there's no
Paul.
Way this exists already, right? We thought of it.
We had to.
Yeah, there's no way anybody would make such a... fucking sacrilegious idea.
They'd go to hell, like we already are.
Really? What about the Mona Lisa, but there's Cleve? I'm serious. Let's fucking finally allow...
We can't record in person. The podcast devolves into this, a literal dick measuring contest and a porn star thing and Jesus jerking off Judas.
You said that one.
Yeah, and I'm not proud of it. And we're not even airing what we said during the commercial break.
Which was entirely too blue to ever have written.
Really, we have to go back to Zoom. We have some humility there.
We have the veneer, the screen allows us to look at ourselves. I think that's what it is. Because when you're zooming, you can see yourself.
Right. Yeah.
And if I saw myself, I would never say this yeah, much.
It's like I'm a
the vitriol, the dirty poison that I spew. But right now, all I can see is sort of my hands, mm-hmm. like my POV, and then right. your face.
Yeah.
And I'm okay saying that to you.
You would think looking at Casey and Anya, you'd have.
I'm ignoring them. Right. I'm trying to pretend that we're the only two people in the room. Otherwise, totally. I'll feel that. I'll feel that energy and I'll be ashamed.
Definitely.
And that shame is what I feel 24/7. And so I come in
so
here.
This
and
is
I,
hiding from it.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. In a way, I'm sort of hiding behind the camera.
And in a way, you actually have to spew the darkest, ugliest stuff you can, because then that gives you the reaction that you want, that would make this shame make sense.
Exactly. It's not unlike the journaling thing where mm-hmm. it's like, I have to get this out of my head, because otherwise I'm thinking about that. And now if I share it with the world, now that's yeah. on them.
It's almost the opposite of the journaling thing, because the journaling thing is like a healthy way to get mm-hmm. your thoughts out. You're projecting them into a microphone.
Yeah.
Giving them to an audience.
And I'm forcing, when you say stuff, you force people to think about it. Like yeah. the ski pole thing that you're talking about. People have to have that image because it's impossible not to. And now that they have it, you don't.
If I die this weekend and like a lot of new people check out our podcast, this will be the last.
Should thing. We still release this, do you think?
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because we are recording ahead of time. Mm-hmm. I guess if I die now, like now, actually, we definitely should, because I'm like calling it.
This might
like
be that. An Easter episode.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Yeah, he is risen and all that shit.
Yeah, totally. That's fine. Ultimately.
Yeah, because then it's like thematically relevant by accident.
I am an atheist.
Right. So ultimately, it doesn't really matter.
Cheers.
Cheers. All right. Thanks for writing in your questions, everybody. Good luck. I'd love a follow-up, Pop.
Yeah.
Let us know how that goes.
Yeah.
Did the 50-50 confidence ever waver
mm-hmm.
as you brought this up to not only your wife, but a porn star you met on TikTok?
Right.
What if he writes his bags like, yeah, worked out. Threesome happened shortly thereafter.
I mean, that'd be amazing. You'd have to be a guest.
You're my hero, sir. And if you have your own questions or theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
As always, this is being simulcasted, video recorded, so you can watch this episode on our YouTube channel.
That's right.
And for more content, we're watching old Jake and Amir episodes on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
JA.
Thanks to you guys for watching. Thanks to you guys for listening. However you're consuming this, we appreciate it. We'll be back, of course, next week. And the theme song. Let's see if we can remember. It was
it was acoustic.
Yeah,
it was Thrice. Oh, Violet.
Yes, was it? It was Christian. Christian made a parody. Right,
but wasn't the band called? It was a hardcore punk
Violets?
Band called Violets.
VYLTS.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christian, for making that for us. And we'll be back, I'm sure, next week. Ciao, everybody.
Checking every single show. A day won't fit, and that's for sure. I crack up every time.
That was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And
why
don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nilly Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.